You know, what a great tribute. What a great tribute. You know, in a similar way, our Lord did something so that we wouldn't have to. And aren't you grateful for Jesus? And if you're visiting, I'm so glad you chose to come and worship with us this morning. You know, I'm excited because my mom, who is a disciple in the Wilmington Church in North Carolina, is worshiping here with us this morning. So I know a lot of you guys know my mom, and it's exciting. But I want to thank our children's ministry team. I want to thank our worship team. I want to thank our AV team, because without them, guys, we can't sit here and focus and worship the way that we do. And, you know, it is really exciting because there is a whole lot going on in our world today. This past Sunday, past Friday, was the first time that our Edge ministry met together in person. And I want to tell you, it was an absolute blast. Amen. And let me see if this works. All right, we were playing a game called Get to Know One Another. And you had to... Now, you may not totally understand all of what was going on, but when you bring young singles who are just coming out of college and mature singles who've been in the battle for years, you could have some obstacles, let's just say. There's a gap. But what's so beautiful is to see the brothers and sisters coming together, collaborating, getting to know each other, creating family, and really having an amazing time. And I am so thankful for our Edge ministry. I just want to give them another hand there. Now, I want to say to my brothers and sisters in the Edge ministry, you're going to hear a similar message. So don't check out and say, I already heard this on Friday. So we got a few more wrinkles. But, you know, the title of the lesson this morning is entitled, Arm Yourself Spiritually. Arm yourself spiritually. You know, sometimes when we think about arming ourselves or protecting ourselves, you know, we get a physical idea. So it's like, hey, I need to buy a gun. Hey, I need to go take lessons to defend myself. But when you arm yourself spiritually, it's not a physical thing. And this morning, I want us to look at some passages here to get this right mindset. Because whether you realize it or not, God has put a soul in every human being. And that soul, he desires to have with him for all eternity because he created that soul. Well, on the other side, the enemy wants that soul. The enemy does not want that soul to enjoy everlasting bliss with the Creator, with God Almighty. And so there is a battle that's happening. You know, Satan is so crafty and has done such an amazing job that some people don't even believe that he exists. And so tonight, or this morning rather, I'm a little ahead of myself. Thinking about later, no. I want us to check out Ephesians chapter 6 to learn how to arm ourselves spiritually and come through Satan's attacks, not just standing, but standing strong. Amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read together. And I'm going to read a different version, NLT. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. And it reads, "Put on all of God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil." That's right. The devil has strategies. He has plans. Some of the things that's happening to you are not by coincidence. Some of us that may be studying the Bible, it is not by chance that the argument broke out or this happened or that happened to create this emotional atmosphere so that you go at each other or you go in the opposite direction of what God wants. He is a strategist. Okay? Verse 12, "For we are not fighting," check it out, "against flesh and blood, enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Verse 13, "Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm." You know, it's amazing when you read this passage to just kind of stop and recognize that that's happening right now. That there's something that's trying to maybe vie for your attention. There's something that's trying to create even tension in you about something else later on or about something that happened this morning. But just to pay attention and hear the word of God, there's a strategy to get us distracted so that we will not hear what God wants us to hear. You know, what is something, okay, help me out. What is something in your life for which you fought the hardest? You know, was it good grades in school? Or, you know, you wanted the great review from your employer? Was it changing your eating habits and, you know, putting a little exercise in your life so that you could become healthier? Was it just, man, throwing yourself totally into your career, getting those classes, developing, getting certifications so that you could become your very, very best? Because most things worthwhile are not easy. But the outcome outweighs the difficulties when you go through to achieve them. So whether we're talking about grades, career, personal fitness, this is the same thing that's true in our relationship with God. See, if having faith feels like a constant struggle, well, that's because it is. You and I are in a battle. And sometimes we just don't want to fight. Or sometimes we've been fighting so long, we're developing fatigue. And we have to keep remembering what we're fighting for and what we're fighting against. The Bible says that we are in the midst of a spiritual battle against evil rulers, authorities, mighty powers, evil spirits in the heavenly places. Think about that for a second. Evil rulers, not good guys, not somebody that's got your best interest in hand, not somebody who's really thinking about, oh, how can I build him up? How can I encourage her? Mm-mm. Evil authorities, powers, and they're all set up and out to get you if you're in Christ. See, the Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. We got to recognize every day we get up and when things happen, man, it's not by chance. Our God, the creator that made us, actually has a plan for us. He's got an actual plan for you and I. Every day we get up, there's an opportunity, and he's saying, come to me, listen to me, hear me. I want you to be in tune with me. And then the enemy's over here saying, you know, you need to get, oh, don't forget that, don't forget that, to get you up and going so that you don't even stop to spend time and get connected with your God, with your Father. He wants to get you going, get you busy, get you distracted, get me distracted for one reason. We don't arm ourselves spiritually. And if you go out trying to fight a spiritual battle through flesh and blood, you're done. But here's the thing. It's a little more complicated than that. See, sometimes we get used to what we do, right? We kind of have our rhythm, and we think, hey, well, I didn't read my Bible a couple days. I didn't pray. I'm doing all right. And we believe the lie. We don't really need that. That's a little legalistic. Come on. Being a Berean? Come on, let's not be legalistic, brother. See, God gives us the armor and the weapons we need to not only fight back, but to defeat the spiritual enemies. Are you with me, church? Let me ask you a question this morning. Is your faith being attacked? Think about it. The question is, how is your faith being attacked? See, because what's one thing when you realize something and then you can see it, you're like, okay, here we go. Strap in. You know, sometimes my faith gets attacked. And I realize Satan comes after me through my marriage and through my kids. Those are two relationships that can just totally get me discouraged and down if they're not going well. Can you relate? So I gotta be aware. And when I go in the kitchen and Sari says, Russ, I need to talk to you. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Sometimes. But how are you responding to the attacks? What happened? What do you do? Let's check out Ephesians chapter 6, and let's keep reading here. Because God wants to arm us. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. And again, I'm going to be reading some different versions, so it might sound a little different, but that's okay. Verse 14, But to do this, you need the strong belt of truth and the breastplate of God's approval. He talks about two items here. He talks about putting on the belt of truth. And in your version, you may say the breastplate of righteousness. Well, in the TLB version of the Bible, it says the breastplate of God's approval. See, God tells us that before we even enter the battlefield, you and I need to put on the truth as a belt. This isn't meant to be a fashion statement, but rather one tool that holds all the other tools together. See, without truth, none of the other tools matter because they will quickly fall off. See, we have to be aware of and honest about where we are in order to not have anything holding us back from moving forward. In other words, you got some secrets you got to deal with. What's really going on? Sometimes, let me tell you, we can be unaware of how we're really feeling, right? And we got to learn how to even be honest in our relationship with God. Because God wants you and I to really get to know who we are. Because you know what? As human beings, it's easy to deceive yourself. Very easy to think, I'm okay, I just don't like that person. Instead of digging, what's going on inside here? Why don't I like this person? What is happening on the inside? And really learn to deal with that, right? But being honest. Man, again, if we're in sin, we gotta get out. That guilty feeling is not gonna go away until we confess what's really going on and understand. Okay, gotcha. Okay, a dog. Okay. Oh, somebody has a dog locked inside a car. So if you could kindly go help out little Poochie, that'd be great. But the police are here to help you. So, all right. All right, let's get back focused here. Okay, the breastplate of God's approval. Look, the scriptures, it talks about the need for the breastplate of God's approval. You know, when we're in the heat of the battle, it can be really easy to neglect our hearts. You know, Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, above everything else, guard your heart. Everything you do comes from it. See, don't neglect or avoid what's in your heart. You want to know what's in your heart? Listen to what comes out of your mouth. Sometimes people say stuff and it's like, oh, I didn't mean that. Oh, yes, you did. That's exactly what you meant. I was playing. Yeah, I was joking. No, you weren't. You got some issues that you need to talk about. But that's why the Bible says what it says. Guard your heart, right? See, because that's where everything comes from. That's where God is trying to get to. And if you're not a Christian, guess what? God wants to clean that out. He wants to remove the guilt. He wants to remove the fear. He wants to put courage inside. He wants to put honesty inside. He wants to put integrity inside. Well, you're not afraid and concerned about what people think because you think you're the only one. But instead, you realize, nah, I'm a sinner, desperately in need of grace, and I got a God who loves me anyway. See, if we leave our hearts unguarded, they can get overrun by anything that comes our way. We can get easily knocked down by things like doubt and worry, again, negativity, fear. But it's so important to be aware what's going on inside. You know, because guess what, guys? In this battle, we can either allow the world to influence us or we can allow God to influence us. But that's our choice. Amen? So that's the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Look at verse 15. Second, he says, on your feet, wear the good news of peace to help you stand strong. That's Ephesians 6:15, the NCV version. See, shoes help us travel distances we could never on our bare feet. They help us to stand strong. See, the Bible says that God gives us this tool, these shoes, to stand strong and to keep moving forward much farther than we could on our own. And it's amazing that he gives you and I the good news, this message of hope, of redemption, of forgiveness. And when we're focused on and moving forward, the purpose that God has for us, we grasp it and we understand it. There is nothing like knowing and understanding this is why I'm here on earth. And having that deeply embedded in who you are. You know, I love this picture here. It's our dear brother Rick Soto and Kenny Lede. And just this couple months ago, they helped a brother named Michael Braun become a Christian. And then 2 years ago, back in 2021, that's Rick Soto and Quadre helping a brother Dan become a Christian in January of 2021. Dan is now out in the Las Vegas church. But I love that, you know, in these brothers, and Rick in particular, there's an understanding of who he is and why he's here. And it's so cool. You know, Taj and I, who is young brother in the Edge ministry, we were having a Bible study with a guy, and I had to leave, so Taj finished it up. And as he was finishing up the study, this older gentleman came walking by and said, "Hey, you guys are studying the Bible." He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "I like that. Young men studying the Bible, da, 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 da." So he gives Taj his number. So Taj follows up with him, and then just past Saturday, Taj, Quadre, and Rick all met with him at the Panera and started studying the Bible with him. You know the lesson in that? Study the Bible in Panera and you'll meet people. Have Bible studies in Panera and that will happen for you. No. Understanding your purpose. Listening to somebody else. Relating to where that person's coming from. I'm so grateful. Every day you get up, you know why you're here. But you know the most exciting part of that is? You know where you're going. You're not questioning salvation. You know where you're going. That's where Jesus, he came to earth. He knew he had a limited time. He knew where he was going. And it helped him go through the pain, the suffering. Who in your life needs you to keep fighting? Is it your kids? Is it your grandkids? Is it aunt, uncle, child? Who can you give hope to today? Who needs some hope? Who needs that word of encouragement? Who needs the good news to be reminded to keep going and to not give up? Let's keep going here. Look at verse 16. It says, "And also use the shield of faith with which you can stop all the burning arrows of the evil one." You know, when we think we are fully armed and prepared for battle, the arrows still come. You know, it was funny talking to Taj, and he shared, you know, kind of a little bad news with me today. He said, "Bro, guess you won't believe what happened to me. Yeah, I got in a car accident. Somebody hit me. They didn't have insurance. They didn't have a license." And I thought, the enemy. Here's a young guy, just had a great Bible study, pull this guy in, and bam, his car gets hit. Are you going to still maintain your faith? Right? We get into battles. We get car accidents. We have issues that happen within our family, coworkers. Somebody gets a promotion that you probably should have gotten. Somebody's getting blessed in some way that you think, well, what about me? See, when the burning arrows come, we need faith in order to not get knocked down, but to keep pushing. Faith is what helps us win our battles. Having faith doesn't mean that we're perfect or have everything together. Having faith simply means trusting that God has our backs. I'm going to say that again. Faith simply means trusting that God has our backs. And you know what? The Bible teaches us that one of the best places to get faith is in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And that's through the word of Christ. Because it's where we see who God is and how he's moving. Who he is and how he's working. You know, do you believe that God wants to give you the things that you hope for? Do you really believe that? See, what area of your life needs more faith? Is it in finances? Is it in our purity? Is it in our character? You know, the Bible is chock full of promises and scriptures that help us to get more faith so that we can keep fighting. You know, one of my favorite memory scriptures was 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you, Russ, except what's common to man. You're not uniquely challenged. It's happening to everybody. But when you are tempted, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. It is very easy to stand up here and quote that scripture. But when things happen, like what happened last week with my cousin, it's hard to believe that. When you get your feelings hurt, is it easy to believe that? No temptation has seized you except what's common to man. And God is faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Easy to say that. Difficult to apply it. But that's part of the challenge. Am I going to trust God? Or am I going to rely on what I feel? Are you with me, church? All right, let's keep rolling here. Verse 17, 18 says, embrace the power of God's salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. You hear that? A helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. Guys, sometimes we are believing lies. Why? Because we don't have that helmet on. You got the chin strap on, tie it up tight. Some of our helmets are like a little wobbly. And take, listen to this version. Take the mighty razor sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all believers. God gives us an entire set of armor to protect us from the battles that we face, and then gives us weapons like his word and prayer so that we can be on the offense. You know, jot this down, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Matthew 27, verse 44, 45 and 40 and 41. In these passages, you see Jesus being tempted. And when the tempter came, Jesus didn't say, well, let me tell you how I feel about that, devil. He said, no, it is written. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, that's part of our repertoire. That's part of how we fight back, is that we say, well, yeah, you say that, but God says this, and that's what I'm going to believe. Or when he's in the garden and the disciples are asleep and he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing. I see you fired up. I see you emotional. But the body is weak. And if you aren't relying on God the way that I did, man, you're going to get pummeled. And you got to come to that realization. I can't do this on my own. I am powerless to do what God wants on my own. See, the scriptures are razor sharp, and we can use them to attack our spiritual enemies. You know, when have you ever talked to somebody that literally had no hope? Or somebody that was on the brink of divorce? I hate hearing that, because I know, man, behind that, if there's kids, there's all kinds of just destruction that's going to happen in someone's life and family. And it's like, oh no, don't let it be. But it's nothing more exciting to help someone have hope, to say, you know, I've been there before too, but here's what helped me. Here's how God helped me overcome this hard-heartedness or this unforgiveness to where I could now forgive. God gave me a new heart, and he could do the same for you. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says, the Lord your God will fight alongside you and help you win the battle. Do we have any people in here that like to win? Raise your hand if you like to win. Amen. I like to win too. Guess what? In Christ, you've won. You know how winners act? They act a little crazy sometimes. You know, I know some of us were watching the game last night and we were pulling for the Heat. What a tough loss. Game 7, Monday night, Celts get to do and make history, possibly. Okay? But the point is, God says, I'm going to fight with you. What if you realize you've been trying to fight on your own and you haven't learned how to fight with God? That's part of what the scriptures are trying to teach us, how to fight along him, how to think this way. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. We're not defeated. Oh, we may take an L here or there, but ultimately, we're champs. We are victors. We are never alone in this battle because God is fighting alongside us. He's not simply watching from the sidelines. He's not simply watching up in heaven on his throne, judging and saying, you should have did this. You should have did that. He He's right next to you. He's right next to me, reminding me, Russ, you're more than a conqueror. Now, it's not because you're awesome, it's because I'm awesome, but you're great, because I made you great, but you're a winner. See, we have to be reminded of who he is, who we are, that we're in this battle. The battle's already been won. Let's arm ourselves. Let's put on what he's given us every single day so that he can be glorified and get all the honor. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time today that we can come and pray to you and hear your word, God. I pray that your word moves and hits our hearts in ways that we're encouraged. If we're visiting, I pray that we would be eager to get into the scriptures, to hear not only what you have to say, but to know who you are. And God, I pray that as those of us that are disciples of Jesus, that you help us continue to believe and to see you as real, to see you working, to be so aware of your presence because you've given us your spirit. Help us enjoy it and help us live each day to give you glory and honor. We love you, God. We thank you. And we pray all of this in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.